I've never went wrong. Everything that comes up in my life, good, bad, ugly, turn, inquire, and trust the Lord, and draw strength from the Lord. It's never let me down. I'm telling you, he's not failed my marriage. He's not failed my ministry, my church, hallelujah, business, praise God, workplace before. It don't matter if you're in business or working somewhere. You know, God began to set out to cause me to want to be the best worker they had, just on the inside. You know, I even got pulled over by state troopers speeding. We're used to, I'd go slow, you know, not in a hurry. You know, I got pulled over one time, and he said, "What's your hurry?" I said, "I'm trying to be the best hand I can be where I work. They're behind, and I'm trying to get them caught up." I mean, and I'm doing and all that, and I laughed, and I thought, "What is wrong with me? You know, what's wrong with it?" But see, there wasn't something wrong. There was something going right in me now. I was no more a thief. I wanted to work. I wanted to work hard. I wanted to be a good hand. And you know what? It started bringing prosperity to me. It started bringing, when I left that place where I worked, I made right under what one of my brothers had been there since he was 15 years old. And God told me, I'm making the same as him. And I'd been working there on and off for 10 years. And if I asked for a raise, I'd almost get fired. You got 10 cents an hour about every other year, you know. And I was raised up so quick. I went to the Lord, brought offerings to the house of God. $5 is about all I could afford every week. And I'd carry me an offering, believe God to increase. I'm talking about trusting the Lord. You know, that's what that's doing. And I would bring that offering to the Lord. And I told the Lord one day when I was in church, and I said, "Lord, promotion comes from you. Lord, I'm not ever going to ask for a raise again, God. If I want a raise, I'm going to depend on you to raise me up. God, I see in the Bible where you control the hearts of kings, Pharaoh. Lord, for a purpose, Lord, to destroy our enemies." And you know what, praise God? It wasn't less than a year. I went from making $230 a week, working 5.5 days a week, to $470 a week, and I was only having to work 5 days a week anymore. Hallelujah. When God put me in my own, I'm telling you, but I can link it back. It was the same job, same people, same boss, and I never could make no money. But I got saved, started trusting the Lord, started going to the house of God, giving offerings, tithing, trying to tithe. It was hard, man, carrying $23 a week. I mean, I was barely paying my bills, Mac. When we got saved, they were cutting our lights off every other month. That lets you go, that's how far, and they cut them off, you know. So what I'm saying is, I was struggling to tithe. See, but God sees all that. God waited and helped me, and I asked the Lord one time, I said, "God, help me, God, not to struggle with this money, Lord. It's just paper, God." See, but I didn't realize in the Bible that it says that you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. You got to serve one of them. You're going to serve one of them. Can't serve two masters. I read that in the Bible, and I thought, it's trying to be my master. That money's trying to tell me you can't afford it. You got to have me. You got to have me. Well, that, you know, it did have a certain part of my trust, because it did pay the light bill. It did buy us groceries. You see what I'm saying? But it is a bad taskmaster, because it can go. And then, boy, you are sad, busted, disgusted, oppressed. But if your trust is in the Lord, it can go. You're like, it'll come from somewhere else. Why? Because that's not your master. I remember one time I was helping my neighbor, and helping him. I don't remember what I had a lawnmower up there. Well, I backed into the lawnmower and crushed the hood on the lawnmower, Mac. And I got on the internet, see, and called around. It was going to be about $150. And so I thought, man, ain't no way I can do that. That'd be like $1,000 now, back in the 90s, you know, back then. I thought, no, man, I mean, he shouldn't have had the lawnmower there. I was in his yard. He shouldn't have parked the lawnmower there. I'm reasoning now. You know, and so I go to him and I said, well, you know, just forget it. Just forget it. Don't worry about it, man. Don't worry. My neighbors tell me that. Just forget it. Just forget it. Well, I went on, you know, and I felt good. I mean, I'm like, whoo, $150, man. I couldn't afford that. I get the house and I tell Trey, I'm telling you that ain't right. I'm about to get mad at her now. She's saying, you need to fix that head. That's not right. We're representing Jesus. I didn't really want to hear about Jesus right now. I feel like he's bailed me out of this mess. Jesus want me to pay it, man? Nah. So anyhow, you know, I thought, well, she ain't the one got to go to work and try to work extra to get this $145. Well, I went on, you know, and every time I'd pray, I'd hear her, I'm telling you, we represent Jesus. I'm like, gosh, man, I wish she hadn't said that. And so I just, you know, see, I was struggling with doing right. Come on, somebody, I should fix his hood. I don't care if I am over there helping or not. I run over his hood. It's not about the hood. I mean, he could have sawed all the hood off and been fine. I'd ride him without hoods. Well, anyways, praise God. I mean, you used one. Borrowed one without a hood, wasn't it? I still got it. I ain't afraid to borrow one without a hood. Thou just blessed I am. Watch me smile while I'm hoodless. Hallelujah. I'm not blessed don't mean you to look good naturally all the time necessarily. Blessed means no matter how it looks in your life, you know you blessed. You know you coming out on top. You might be having to drive a Volkswagen with no brakes right now, but a Rolls Royce is in your vision. And you go and praise God for the Volkswagen. You go praise God for no brakes on it until you get up there to one to where you can just lock everybody down on the road. Hallelujah. Well, you know what, praise God? I yielded that to the Lord. I said, okay, Lord. I just yield this to you, Lord, and I'll fix that confounded lawnmower if that's your will. Black God, hallelujah. I just believe I receive it right now. I used Mark 11:22. Anybody know what that says? Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. So I didn't have the money. But you know what, praise God? That was part of my prosperity test. I didn't realize down there when the struggle of doing right because you're looking whether you can afford to do right or not. I didn't realize that was a test, and I was in kindergarten and I'm fixing to go to first grade, and then there's going to be tearing Richard Lloyd's bumper off at the church, and I'm going to be up in third grade. Come on, somebody. I didn't realize Travis is going to be going down the road, slap somebody's mirror off in Coleman because they need to widen their highways. You ever been up there with two trucks with towing mirrors? On 31? Yeah, the highways ain't wide enough for a compact car. That mirror cost me $800. In the body shop that did it, I just believed, I used Mark 11:22. I said, black God, I said, you're going to have to pay me back, devil. Black God, those roads ain't wide enough. That ain't my fault. My son driving that, black God, that ain't my fault. That was my truck, and I believed I received it. And you know what? It wasn't just a little while down the road. The very company that fixed the mirror, which wasn't their fault, they fixed it, and it cost me $800. I could have bought five mirrors and put them on for $800. I believed I received it. Their springs started breaking in their place of business, and guess who they called? Blind overhead door, this is Blatt so-and-so body shop. And I'm like, it is. Hello. I thought, been waiting on you. Hallelujah. Black God, I made my money back first spring. I made it back. I thought, glory to God. And you know what? They still breaking. I just made another good chunk last week, same company. Well, this ain't my story. You got to take that word, everything. It might look to my bad, but he works all. Ain't that scripture, Romans 8:28? Ain't that scripture where he says, for we know that God works the knocked off mirror to your good. That mirror getting knocked off got me in. If you want another mirror? Hallelujah. Well, I went on believing God, and I put the dude's lawnmower hood on there. I put his lawnmower, 50 lawnmower. God brought that money in supernaturally, little here, little there, and until I had the money, and it felt really, really good to walk in righteousness. But you know what? After he fixed, his wife went and told Teresa that he said he won't never fix it. See, I didn't know that, but God did. God knew that I needed some integrity. It wasn't about the $145. It was about my character. It was about Jesus, being an example for Jesus over a little bit of money. Now, but God, I'd knock off a $2,000 hood and take right care of it quick. Come on, somebody. This ain't my story. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on Jesus. I was down there, lost, without hope, dope, partying every weekend, committing adultery, quitting jobs, wouldn't be stable family member. I was all that I shouldn't have been. I'm not bragging on me. Now I am a committed husband. I will not commit adultery. I will not. You know, the Bible says if a man look upon a woman in lust, he commits adultery. I will not commit adultery. I will not look upon a woman and desire her. I will not commit adultery. I don't do that anymore. That's, you know, what I'm saying here is, you know, is God brought me from a place I'm totally different from what I was. I don't quit my jobs. I use the scripture where it says, "Swear to your own herd and change not." Now these things are pressure points in our life to bring the fruit of God. It's bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus. Yes, yes. And we today, to let Jesus live cost us. To let Jesus live in our life and people see our lot, it cost us. It cost us sometimes money. It cost us sometimes hardship. You know, but all the hardship is worth the character that is built in you and how you feel and the anointing and the increase of God that comes into your life, praise God, in my life, praise God. Give me that Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? He don't faint. Neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. What that means, there ain't no ending to his understanding. That there's no ending to it. He's deep. Go ahead. He giveth power to the faint. Do you feel like you're weak? Well, have you not heard? Have you not known? He gives you power today. You got power you need to receive. You might feel like you can't take anymore. He said he gives power to the faint. See, until I always think about this. Now, I used to raise chickens and, you know, back under, fault chickens back under in the day, you know, for money and different things. I even handled them for chicken fighters and stuff, you know, and they would pay me. They would pay me. And everything. And then they would pay me. They would pay me. To hatch off chickens, hatch them off, and then they would pay me for the chickies. They give me the eggs, I hatch them off, and they would pay me. Well, you know, later on, I didn't really do it up till me and Teresa got into, I got her into chickens, and so I was, she's selling eggs, and then I started hatching the chickens off, you know, and I'm really enjoying, I bought my big hatchery and boxes and all that. And I'm hatching them off, but I'm impatient. So when 21 days was there, if them bitties, I wanted to go help them out. Pull them out, you know. I'm thinking man, if you just help them a little, they can get on out of them shells. And so I would go try to help them little chickens out of them shells, you know, and every one that I would help break out, it would die. That little baby would die. And then I felt like a murderer. I felt like it's going to die in the shell, but if I help it, it'll live. But see, little did I know, one day, Teresa, she told me, she said, "You are killing them." I said, "I'm trying to help them." She said, "Listen." She said, "Everyone you help out that lives, I have to kill. Something wrong with it." She's having to kill them. I can't kill them. I couldn't. She just lay them down, chop their heads off. You know, and I'm like, "No, I can't do it. I can't do it. Just let them suffer." But she got to. So she's telling me, "I'm having to kill all of them that you help out." And she said, "You're hurting them." So I realized. I realized that they needed the struggle. I realized that the last part of coming out of that shell, the fighting is building their. It's developing their strength. They're everything in that little baby. They needed the struggle of the last mile of pushing their self out of that egg. They needed it. See, that's the way we are as Christians. We need that hardship, that push in the last mile of that trial. It's not a time to quit. It's not a time to quit trusting God when things don't look like it's going the way that you had planned. It's not a time to back up and slack up. Right then is a time to press on then that little bit of hardship, because that hardship is building you for the next level in your life. Hallelujah. It's building you for the next level. And now I look back, I might be on level 3 if there's 100 levels. I just have come out of teenage years serving God. The more that I get to know Him, the more that I know that I don't know as much as what I thought I knew. The more that I walk with God, the more that I realize the need I have for Him. The more that I walk with God, I'm like, "God, I've got to have power. I feel weak at times, Lord. I've just went through 3 weeks where nothing went right in my business hardly. Everything went backwards. Trucks, people, heifers, not sending the right stuff, all kinds of stuff, you know. And I mean, I went through that, and it'd be like your life. What everything is going backwards in your life. Everything's not going good. You ever have those weeks? Mine usually months now. It's weeks. Days is gone. It seemed like I went from kindergarten in that. First grade, and it was harder. Third grade, it was harder. Used to last a day and a half, and I barely made it the day and a half. Then go on serving Jesus, and He just leads you on out in deeper water where you're tiptoeing to keep your head up, seems like. But you know what? Isaiah says that there's ankle-deep water, knee-deep water, but there's waters to swim in. And it seems like God, it just led me up to where my nose is just barely above the water. You ever been in those trials where you feel like if anything else, I'm going under. If anything else, I'm quitting. If anything else, I can't take it no more. You are at a good place, baby. It don't feel good. But I'm telling you, God's going to show you He is your deliverer. He is your healer. He is your on-time help. You'll look back and you'll say, "Thank God I knew Jesus. I didn't feel the victory. I didn't see the victory, but now I'm living the victory, Lord." You know, they say that our president is too optimistic. And I say they're too dumb to see reality. This Bible will make you optimistic. It'll make you think, glory to God, there's nothing impossible. All things are possible because I believe. That's optimistic in the middle of not having nothing and seeing nothing going good in your life. That's what optimism is. We're not supposed to be on the defense kind of Christian. You know what defense? Just defending ground, making sure the other team don't win. But you know, offense, I know a little bit about football on account of Bible. I didn't know nothing about football till the Bible. Now, Teresa, she knows what the signs are. Run left, catch him over there. They got signs. You know, the coach will throw it out there where the other team can't see it. Oh, we're going to throw the curve left. I mean, you go to my house, not now, but Teresa, she's a diehard Alabama fan. I mean, she's diehard. Yeah, Roll Tide, baby. And you know what? When the football came time to come, I'm going up to my shop because I can't stay in the living room. It gets loud in there. I mean, she's on the couch, up and down, shouting, run, look at that play. That wasn't right. I'm telling you, boy, she had the show in the living room the whole ball game. You know, and I'm like, I got to get out of here where I can stay sane. Hallelujah. Get my heart and mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. But he says he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Hallelujah. I went through that and I'm like, oh, Jesus, I can't take nothing else. Lord, if anything else happens, I want out of business. I just want out. The pressure was that great, Johnny. The pressure just of it. And all of a sudden I thought, hey, you better get a hold of your mind right now. You better get a hold of your mind because these things are coming to try to defeat you in Jesus. And if you can get Jesus out of you, if he can get the Word out of you, then he can move in your situation. And you know what? I got on the Word, but God, I started prophesying to the four winds. But God, he works all things together for my good. And before you know it, I was up. I was back up, Mac. I mean, on the end, nothing had changed on the outside. See, your circumstances don't have to change for you to get up. You've got to encourage yourself in the Lord through Scriptures. And believe in God, hallelujah. Because each one of us are going to face times where it looks like the promises of God, which are in him, yes and amen, is not going to happen or taking too long. But he says he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Thank you, Lord. Increase us, Lord, today. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. These without God. Not talking about Christians here. This young people, young. He said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. Go ahead. But they that wait upon the Lord. Them are people that ain't waiting on the Lord. Them are people that ain't trusting in the Lord. Them are people that, you know, they might go to church every now and then. But these other folk here, they that wait upon the Lord. Wait there means to be twisted together, to be one with. The word wait don't mean like sit down at a table and wait on your food to get there. That kind of wait. The kind of wait that's talking about, they that are one with the Lord. What would Jesus do? What would he do in your situation? He would speak to it. He would peace be still to the storm. He would cast out devils. He'd run them out. Listen, that devil don't come to my house. I have the blood of Jesus applied to the doorpost of my house. I do it every now and then by faith, walk through my house with anointing oil, and I'll put it around the doorpost, and I'll say, this is the blood of Jesus right here, and no evil can cross into my house. Hallelujah. I'll ride my property sometime, and I'll say, I anoint you in the name of Jesus. Every devil has to keep going down this road. It don't belong to me, but this does. This driveway belongs to me. And you know what happens? I'm over snoring. Hey, Teresa bought me a huge, this fan you can hear slap out to the mailbox when we're running it. Ooh! Boy, ain't nothing waking me up. I don't know how Teresa hears anything. That one night about 2 o'clock, hey, I'm like, what? There's somebody sitting in the driveway. I said, boy, I thought, let me get the gun. She don't need it. She'll shoot them before they get out. I said, don't turn no lights on. And I go out, did what I'm telling you, she's over there, she gets woke up somehow by a truck with no lights in the driveway 2 o'clock in the morning. I done anointed our property. You can't sit there without us being alarmed. We don't even have night vision things out there to look. We got security, but it's from above. The angels of the Lord in camp, they probably went, uh-oh, let me run in there. Teresa, can't get Scotty awake. Hey, wake him up. Done tried to wake him up, can't wake him up, wake him up, wake him up. So Teresa, whack, hey, what? Look, man, I didn't know they was out there asleep. Well, you know what? Get up, get around, and all of a sudden, boom, they back out and leave before I can get out there. Thank God they didn't get to go on and be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Because if I go out there in mind to where it's going to be serious, 2 o'clock in the morning, it's really serious. It's going to be serious. I'm going to believe for the anointing all the way to the truck while I'm dragging them out. We'll ask you what you're doing later. You woke me up. I get 8 hours, homie. The doctor says I need to sleep 8 hours. And I don't like to be woke up at 2 o'clock. I'm going to bed at 10:30. I'm not getting up till 6:30 if I can. I just call rest. Don't you know the Bible says for us to enter into rest in the Bible? Hallelujah. Well, I just believe it. But they that wait upon him, I wait on him. You're waiting on him this morning. You might have got up and said, God, I don't really feel like going to church. God, I've been through some battles, Lord, but I know where my help comes from. I know where my strength. I know that if I can get in your presence in church, God, things will be better when I leave, God. I know, Lord, if I get there, I'll find out something I didn't know, God, because you. That's waiting on him. That's being one. Hey, you know, he come to church this morning. God told me one time, he said, well, you know, we are at the church. He's in my living room at 11. I said, no, he ain't. I said, he left you there and come down there where we're at. I said, nah, you thought he was there. Felt pretty good to lay out of church. You didn't have to go shave and brush your teeth. You know, get on some clean clothes. Take a bath that you don't take every 3 days. We smell you. Not you. He jerked his arm, you give it away. I tell Teresa I'm saving water. I ain't taking a bath going there. You taking a bath tonight? I said, nope, saving water. Saving on that water bill, buck of God. That's what I tell her. I'm just don't want to take a bath. I'm lazy. You know, tired or something. But you know, it says those that wait on the Lord, he'll renew your strength. You might have lost your strength, but just wait on him a little more. He, you know, I like what Shannon said. I mean, it looked bad. Shannon could have had cancer. I mean, it was getting to his mind. He become a crybaby not long. And he got more miserable. I could see it. When he come to church, he got more miserable and miserable. I ain't talked to him. I don't know, but I know. I don't know. You know how I know? I've been there. The more I wait on the Lord, better I feel. I don't care what's wrong with my body. Hallelujah. You know, and but his job, see, his job was making him miss church Sundays and Wednesdays and all of that. He started getting weaker and whatever the case may be. Church helps you be strong. So when they said, they called him out, hey, you want your job? Yep. They go over there to interview and they say, hey, we're going to church on Wednesday. Well, you know, when we go to church on, I mean, they put a demand on the job. And so Shannon comes in, he says, you know, told him, well, we'll let y'all 4:30 and never have to work you on Sunday. Ain't that what they said? Now before they working him Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I mean, they want him to work day and night. There's a difference. He come back, he got back in the house of God, he got back and realized some things like we all do. All he needed was renewed strength. It wasn't that Shannon got bad and was a bad guy or nothing for us if it happens to us. No, it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know, I've watched them eagles. And I've seen documentaries on them. They don't fight a whole lot to have to stay up. They get up in the atmosphere where they glide. They just glide. They get up high enough to where the atmosphere is different, praise God. He said, we'll mount up on wings as eagles. We will run and not be weary, and we will walk and not faint. He's referring to an eagle. An eagle can get up and just soar. Have you ever watched it? I mean, they're just there, and they're not moving too much but their eyes, because they're watching for rats and they're watching for, you know, prey down. They're looking way down there. Going down the road the other day and started the church, and Aubrey, she looks over there and she's waiting on the day she gets big enough, Mac, to go to Spring Valley Beach. When I get big, Papa, I'll go, not big slide. Big slide, you know. And so y'all got it coming, right? She's thinking right now she ain't big enough, so got a little time, baby. She looked over and she said, I see it. I've got eagle eyes, Papa. I got eagle eyes. I said, you just keep saying that, baby. But she does. I mean, she spots birds up there. There it is, Papa. And I'll be like, what? Bird, I'm looking a mile, she done sees it too. I got to go further out looking. You know, the Bible talks a lot about eagles, you know. I mean, eagles, you know how they heal if there's something gets wrong with an eagle? They lay in the sun. They lay in the sun. Have you ever noticed dogs when they get sick? They get out. I got a dog that... I mean, it'll be 96 degrees. Lays out in the, when she don't feel good, lays out in the driveway going, just laying there in the 98 degrees in the sun. I told her one day, I said, Minnie, get in the shade. You're making me miserable. And then I run out and got in the shade. She's laying in the sun. How many knows that now we're talking about the S-O-N, sun. We was talking about the S-U-N then. Made in them to get in the sun. And you know what? When we thus and trusting in the Son of God, Jesus, the Lord, there's healing in His wings, hallelujah. There's restoration, there's renewed strength, it says. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They ain't no more giving up. Listen. The Lord spoke to me one time, dropped it in my heart, and He said, you never have to be dry again, spiritually dry again. Because I heard people, Christians, going around saying, you're going to go through dry places. You're going to, you know, there's going to be wilderness experience. There's going to be 10-day trials. And they come up with some of the craziest stuff. And you know, you start believing that, so you connect and everything you go, I'm in a 10-day trial. And it's over and another one starts. So you're always in a 10-day trial. I told that guy, I said, what scripture did you get from that, man? Where did you get that in the Bible? That every Christian is going to go through seasons and you're going to go through dry place. No, if you dry, you ain't drinking. Teresa's doctor, Dunn Colbert, look him up. If you want to eat healthy and get, you know, if you want to eat healthy and you need some motivation, it's Dr. Dunn Colbert. Travis don't like him. He'll get you off of everything that's killing you. All you'll drink is water. Diet water. Yeah. Can't be no additives in there, you know. But we've got to learn, you know, but he spoke to me, you ain't drinking. See, her doctor says if you get thirsty, you're already dehydrated. So Teresa tells me, drink water, if you get thirsty, you are already dehydrated. I'm like, that's stupid. We get thirsty because we know we're thirsty. I mean, that's how you know you're thirsty, right? That's what I'm thinking. But her doctor's done got her, not brainwashed, but I mean, controlled by that. If you get thirsty, you're already dehydrated. I'm like, well, God, I'm dry hydrated all the time till I get home. I got to suck a bottle of water in the morning, suck it at 9 o'clock, drink one, supposed to drink 8 bottles of water a day. Good Lord. That's a gallon of water. You try drinking a gallon of water. You don't even want no food. No wonder you lose weight. You're full all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what, praise God? See, I mean, you know, the Lord told me, He said, you're not drinking. He said, if you'll draw out of the wells of salvation, He said, it didn't say there's going to be times in the desert that you're going to have to draw out of the wells of salvation. He said, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And so I got that scratch. Oh, glory to God. And you know what? The only time I'm dry is when I don't drink. I'm telling you, there ain't no desert. There ain't no trial that can get me discouraged and oppressed and feel like, where are you at, God? I mean, I just have a constant knowing that He's in me and He's with me and the angels are with me and they're working for me and all that until I quit drinking. Once I quit drinking, I'm like, what's going on, God? God, what's going on? God, I feel awful this morning. You know what He'll say? You didn't drink nothing. You didn't get up and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not getting up seeing what my body feel like. I'm getting up, greater's He that's in me. Now you're drinking. You're drawing out of that well of salvation. You're stirring the faith of God, hallelujah, on the inside of you to give you strength to carry on that day, knowing that this, you know, there's weeks, there's times, this just like these two in. I thought, oh, I'll be glad when I get out. The Lord said, that's wrong thinking. Don't run from trouble. You preach it at church. Don't run from it. He said, you meet it head on. He said, you meet trouble head on. Rely on me to strengthen you. Whatever you have to do the right thing, you do it. Even if it costs you to do the right thing. And you know what? Things started getting easier and easier and easier to face the very same trials that I wanted to quit and run from and just go work for D. I'll do taxes, teach. Pay me. That way you deal with the rent. You deal with the cars. If I ain't got a way to work, you got to pick me up. The way all the rest of them want me to do. Had a guy call me the other day. I need a job, but somebody stole my motorcycle and they beat it up and banged it up. And I live at Wealthy. And, well, I got one girlfriend at Wealthy. Well, I mean, I could be up at Wealthy. I got one girlfriend at 157. And I'm thinking, how many girlfriends you got, home? So it's going to be convenient. Whichever girl you want to go with is closer to the job where you think I'll come get you. That's the one you go to. I'm thinking, this dude, I don't need this. And he said, well, listen, buddy. I need you to help me. I said, that's not what I called you for. That's not. I need somebody to help me. I said, you're applying for a job. I need you to help me. Not me help you. That's not the way this is working. And so he goes on and he said, hey, how much you going to pay? I said, I'm going to pay you $8 an hour. Oh, you can give me 10. I said, I can, but I ain't. I said, you don't know nothing. I'm familiar with doors. I said, well, that's fine. I said, I'm going to pay you $8 an hour the first week and then see what you're made of. I said, then if you're made of it, I'll give you a dollar next week. And then we'll see what you know the next week. If you know something the next week, time to time we get done, you can make $10. Well, reckon you could come pick me up. I said, one day, but not the whole week. I said, listen, buddy. I said, when you get your motorcycle fixed or whatever you need fixed where you can get to work, call me. Don't just call me. I said, let me talk to my buddy, my partner. I said, if I want you, I'll text you over the weekend, and I'll give you an address. Notice what I said now. If I want you, I will text. I ain't texting. Are you going to call him? I told him what I was going to do, didn't I? If I text you, it means I want you and give you that. Well, if you don't get a text, find your job somewhere else, right? God, y'all are quiet. Well, he gives you strength to handle things with wisdom. He'll cause you to have wisdom handling things that are trying to play you and manipulate you into making commitments you ain't got time to make. He'll give you wisdom for your life that'll cause you ease to enter into rest. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. You know, and I was going to bring it on, but we got to unload the truck. Over there in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it is, we don't need to put it up there. Jesus started telling them, Don't think about what you're going to eat. Don't think about what you're going to wear. Don't think about your life and blah, blah, blah. It said, consider the lilies of the field, the fowls of the air, how they ain't got no barns and all that stuff. And he takes care of them, blah, blah, blah. Goes on and he says, how much more are you than the fowls of the air? Important to him is what he was saying. He said, don't think about what. He said, all these things does the nations of the world see. Talking about jobs and money and car and food and what we're going to eat and all that stuff. He said, don't seek. The nations, the Gentiles seek all that. The Gentiles go after all that to survive and all that. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his right, and all these things will be added to you. Boy, that is a good promise. All I got to do is trust the Lord. Lean on the Lord. I'm glad to see all of y'all guys. Somebody asked me the other day, people ain't come back to church since we closed down for the pandemic. I said, I stayed too long, but we had to drive in service. I said, I believe we passed the test. I said, you ain't even having to ask people to come to church when they're starting to come. I've been trying to get y'all to come to church for 17 years. Now all I got to do is go through a test and don't get all upset and all that, and bam, everybody gets victory. Look, God, I'm like, well, give us another test then. If that's all it's taking, if all I need to do is grow up and quit needing a pacifier to, you know, part my mustache for a pacifier, if all I needed to grow up, man, is a test so I'm not a baby with a mustache, hallelujah, well, then do it, Lord. Hallelujah. See, pastor, sometimes pastor, he sees the churchyard full, and he's like, whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah, what a day this is, Lord. Oh, you're draining them in, Lord. And boy, he's happy. He goes in, he's fired up, preaches him a good old sermon. Thank God, come back Wednesday night, four cars in the parking lot. He lost his salvation. Oh, Jesus. Why can't people come to church? No, just be happy like you was Sunday. Preach to that four like they're full. Them four are just as important as the 40 or the 1,000. Hallelujah. All I'm saying is these things come, and we have to learn how to grow through the challenges that comes our way, not fold into them. The Bible said, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, a lot of the world are committing suicide, lockdowns. I mean, all kinds of things are happening, thinking about suicide and all of that stuff. These things are demonic because they don't have the Spirit of God to help them and strengthen them so they can have vision, but not here. And if you know people like that, you invite them to church. It ain't me. I'm not smart enough to get into your life and cause you to get revelation and all of that. It's where God's put us. It's the place God's put us. He's anointed us and anointed this place, hallelujah. Anointed these services for us to thrive and for us to grow and develop and to reach in and bring those in out there that ain't got no vision at all. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. Invite somebody to church. Well, y'all are just a little radical. We're blessed. We're radical. Maybe we need some radicalness. Maybe we need some radicalness in this last day. Instead of just sit down and just, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Man, we need some fire, don't we? We need some backbone out there when that enemy comes, by God. He ain't afraid of that hymn book. He ain't afraid of quoting scripture. But boy, he does back up when that anointing's on the inside. And that word is living on the inside. And we tell him to go back to hell where you came from, because you're going back to hell anyways when we get done with you. Hallelujah. Boldness comes from the Lord. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as the lion. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And God, we just thank you.